You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
So God had called us to go, right? And people were saying, oh, that doesn't sound like a very good idea. But you know, we had sold our house. We were ready to go. And we were very excited. And we knew that God was in it. And so we couldn't see in our mind's eye. There's no way that we could work out the details of what the Lord had. It was, think about it, totally impossible. But we came home from that prayer team that we went on to Kosovo, and in 1 year to the day, I remember because it's our daughter's birthday, we sold our house, we sold our vehicles, Gary resigned from his job, we raised all of the money that we needed to take our family overseas, and we got on the airplane, and we arrived in Kosovo. And that was November 19th. And again, September 11th had just happened here in America. And we were entering this Muslim country. And you know, we share that because we want you to understand that if God is calling you to go overseas, and you can't imagine what that means, you don't need to imagine it. You just need to take the first step. We went as missionary associates. We just went. And in the meantime, Gary has become ordained pastor and done all those things that you need to do to stay as fully appointed missionaries. The point is, you don't need all those things to get started. God doesn't just call pastors. If he's asking you to go to your neighbor and talk to them about Jesus, go and talk to them. If he's asking you to go to your neighbor and give them a hug, go give them a hug. If he's asking you to bake cookies, go do it. If he's asking you to be nice to the person in line, next time you go through the line, you know that person that's super crabby all the time and you just are like, what in the world? Why do they even work here? Maybe he wants you to show him a little more kindness. Just take the first step, okay? So please be encouraged. I know you're in a big building project, so I know you have a big, big step ahead of you. Trust the Lord. He's never going to give you the full plan. So just know that he is in control. And I do want to say that our daughters are here just to introduce us. This is the first time that we've ever done ministry without our kids right with us. Usually they're here with us. They were the ones sharing and talking about our ministry. Amanda, who some of you know, is on the left. She's a student here at North Central. She changed her name to Mandy. I know Mandy goes with Amanda, but she was never Mandy, so I just can't bear it. I can't buy into it. So Amanda is the best I can say. So she's the same person, Amanda, Amandy. Emily is our second daughter, or our youngest daughter. She's a senior in high school. She will be graduating and possibly coming here to University of Minnesota nursing program. She's been accepted there. And our other daughter, Rachel, she's 19. She's a freshman in college. She's attending college with us in Pennsylvania right now. And she will be transferring maybe to McAllister in St. Paul. So that's my prayer and begging the Lord. Could they all be in one city? So as you pray for us, pray for our ministry, pray for our family. We're going back overseas without children. This is a big step for us. I think this is harder than when we went with all of them in tow as little children, leaving them here. So please be praying for us, our ministry. If you have more questions, we'll be around after church. And Gary's going to come up, and he's going to share the word with you, encourage you, pray for you, and share a little bit more. And I'm going to go downstairs and talk to the kids. Thank you so much.
I have to be a little closer, so I'm going to bring this down here. And it's some of my Italian heritage and stuff, so. I kid, if I end up come up and hugging you and sit on your lap, it's because I'm Italian, okay, so don't mind me. I always love it when my wife speaks. The Lord has really blessed her and anointed her to speak and to minister. And, you know, she actually mentioned it to me earlier, and I just think she might have forgot a little bit about it, is, when Amanda came, she talked about our daughters, and when Amanda was coming here to North Central, you know, we had prayed, oh God, you know, bring people along her path. And really, the Thompsons, your pastor and his wife, are an answer to our prayer. God answered because they took her in just like their daughter, and we so much really appreciate that, and we thank you for that. And it's just been a really, God is really faithful and he hears our prayers. And so now he's challenging us with our next two daughters to keep that prayer going, and that he will provide their needs. Amen? Yeah. Amen. We sang earlier, it reminded me, the Lord is worthy. He is worthy, is he not? He is so worthy of our praise, of our lives, of our giving, of our following, of our calling out to serving him, where however whatever he puts has us put our hand to serve him in that area with all our heart. Amen. Okay. You can turn if you would to I want to read some scripture this morning. And if you would turn to James 5:13-16. And I want to talk about prayer. I'm going to read these verses in just a minute, James 5:13-16. And then I want to share with you I hope you're encouraged in your own prayer life. That's I think God's heart in my goal, and I think the Lord's goal today. Prayer is like everything. We have to pray. We're praying people. So I want you to be encouraged in that. So I'm hoping in sharing these verses and talking that you will do that. And I'll be praying for you at the end, give you a chance to pray really silently. And I just want you to even allow the Lord to work in and through your life and even begin to open up your heart even now as I'm speaking. And because with God, any and everything is possible. Right? And like my wife said, there's things in your life that he wants to fulfill. Things you may have laid down and forgot about them. They could be from some years ago, and he may be asking you to pick them up and say, yes, I want to do that in your life. You know, and again, I know we felt and I feel inadequate a lot of the times, but God strengthens us and gives us the courage, the ability, the anointing to go out and do what he's asked us to do. And it may just be talking to that neighbor. And it's not just. It's whatever he's called us to do. So, and then I want to share briefly a couple answers of prayer in our ministry as we go along and read these verses. So let's just take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for this morning. Lord, we thank you that you're here. Lord, I thank you for each person here, Lord. We're not here. They're not here by accident. God, we pray that you would be lifted up, that Jesus, your name, would be glorified this morning, that you would have your way, Holy Spirit. Thank you, you are here. Have your way in my life. Have your way in each life here. And I pray that your word would go forth to be a blessing to your people. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. James 5:13-16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What is prayer? Henry Nouwen, basically, he's loves the Lord. He's actually a Catholic priest. He wrote, prayer is calling or crying out to God with what's in our heart or in our soul and spirit. And then it's a conversation and a dialogue with the Lord. And I love that. It's like your best friend talking to your best friend, like your deep things, and that God wants that and asks that of us. And basically, it's a real simplified, we can go more and more into what prayer is, but I like that definition. And so I encourage you, again, as I pray at the end here, and as you're praying, and even now, maybe praying, just open yourself up, allow God to work through your lives. Maybe for something in your own life, and maybe for a loved one, finances, whatever your situation is, the Lord knows it. So, in our ministry, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. I share a story with you. This was a bit early on in our ministry. I inherited a church, okay? You talk about like being scared. Like my wife said, God called us. I was a social worker. We answered that call. We went over. I went over as a missionary associate. I'm supposed to help a missionary. Things went awry. We had to evacuate the city we were in. We were dangerous. Another missionary called me up, said, I'm going on furlough for a year. Come and take the church. I said, what? I'm a social worker. I've never pastored. He's like, we met you. We know you. We believe God's in it. Pray. Seek God. If he gives you an answer, come and do it. And he said, you know, you love a lot of people. Drink a lot of coffee. It's a Muslim, Albanian, Turkish coffee culture. You'll see the cup on the back table. Do that. Love on people. You'll be a good pastor. I prayed. God gave us a peace. We went. We did it. Inherited the church. We had about 8 believers, 9 believers. Big church in Albanian standard. Okay? And, you know, as a pastor, when you give testimony time, you want someone to raise their hand. Okay? Luzim, I could count on Luzim. Always raised his hand. I'm like, good, I got a testimony. Hallelujah. You don't want it to be silent come testimony time. Okay? So Luzim, he's on fire for the Lord. He's going after it. You know, he knew about the Lord. He decided to live for Jesus. In the Muslim culture, you can go to church. You can, the community knows you're at church. Once you get water baptized, you are telling your family and the community, I am walking with Jesus. I'm making a decision. It doesn't, we know the Bible doesn't say that. You're saved when you recognize Jesus. So we took our church along. I said, we educated them. Who would like to be water baptized? Luzim, first one to raise his hand. Me. Like, okay, like one or two other people followed him. Great. You know, and we had, it was 9 believers, but we had about 15, 20 people coming to the church, depending. So the day we educate them, the day of baptism comes up, and no Luzim, nowhere to be found. Okay? We find out later, talking to Luzim, some people threatened to hurt him. They heard baptism was coming up, and they threatened to hurt him. If he went through with it, he got scared, he didn't do it. We encouraged him. We prayed with him. We loved on him. We said, God is faithful. Just seek the Lord. Keep after Christ. Just stick in there. And we just loved him, you know, didn't judge him. 6 months later, another baptism. Luzim, I learned my lesson now. First hand up again. Yeah, he's got it now, man. He's got it now. He's got it now. Prayer meeting comes up, middle of the week, 3 days before baptism. We would gather as a church and pray. Prayer meeting, no Luzim. He's not there. We start praying. 10 minutes left in the prayer meeting. Luzim walks in. He's shaken. He's white as a ghost. He's scared. What happened, Luzim? What happened? He's just about crying. He's like, 10 guys stopped me on the road. They surrounded me. And Luzim's, he's about 18, 19. These guys were 25, 30, 35. They're pushing me around. They have a circle. They won't let me out of the circle. And they say, we know you. Baptism's coming up. And we're going to really hurt you. And you better not go through with it. And they show him a gun. So he comes in. We pray with him, encourage him. Okay, I'm going to do it. Baptism 2 rolls around. No Luzim. So we as a church, we just forgot him. No, we didn't forget about Luzim. Does God forget about us? He doesn't forget about us, right? We prayed through with Luzim. We prayed with him, for him. And our service was over. Our 2 years. We went back to the U.S. to itinerate. As an MA, you do 2 years and you go back to the U.S. itinerate. We hear another baptism. Luzim's still in there at the church, and hallelujah. Luzim was in trouble all during that time. We prayed for him, and God answered the prayer. Baptism 3, Luzim gets baptized. He gets baptized, 2 to 3, I lost count. I think it was 3, but 2 for sure, within a month after his baptism, came to the Lord. Evangelization. Luzim is married today with a lovely Christian lady serving the Lord. And God is good. Eh? Amen? Amen? God is good. So he was in trouble. He prayed. We prayed. And God answered. Thank the Lord. If we look down here at verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Sometimes we need to confess our sins one to another. And I think part of that, Scripture says that, because sometimes something's got a hold of us And the devil just wants to keep us in that and keep us going in that sin. And it's stronger than us. And sometimes to have humility and to swallow your pride and say, Pastor, I need prayer. To a friend who you respect spiritually, could you pray for me in this area? I'm struggling in this area. And sometimes it's that confession that breaks the hold that that may have on you. So let the Lord deal with you on that. But the scripture says it's good to do that, and sometimes we need to do that. Another quick story. This wasn't a personal confession. This was a confession that God laid on our church in Kosovo to pray against corruption. Kosovo government, corrupt leaders, you know, no Christians virtually, don't serve the Lord. Put it heavy on our heart. We started praying, God, leaders of sincerity, leaders of integrity, leaders that know you, God, save them. So we didn't know. I didn't know any leaders. We needed to pray. Prayed for about a week. The Lord then let us, okay, you're done praying in that area. About 3 days later, I'm in a store downtown Kosovo, in Pristina, in downtown. I visited my pastor friend. I leave his office, go into a store. And you got to know Kosovo, it's still military police and security there. And back then, they had international police. Every once in a while, you'd see a policeman from America come in from the United Nations and from around the world and help them to learn how to police. I walk into the store, there's an American. I'm speaking Albanian, barely, and I want to speak English, so I go up to him. Hey, you're from... I see he's got a baseball cap and he's got an American flag on. Well, I notice he's got a mic on, and he doesn't talk to me right away. In short order, he finds out what I do, who I am. I do missions work. The lady that's standing next to him, which I eventually recognize, he's guarding this lady. He's her protection. She's English-speaking from Australia. She says, hi, my name's Linda. You're a missionary? You do? I said, yeah. She started asking me. She says, oh, who are you? I'm like, Assemblies of God. Oh, I know Assemblies of God. She's like, hey, I'm going to wait for you. Now we're in line. She's in front. I'm going to wait for you outside, and I want to speak to you when you come out. So I pay. I go out front. She's like, here's my card. She said, could you call me? Could you contact me? Could you and your wife, could you come and visit me? Or could you stop by my office one day? Sure, I'll be glad to do that. A minute later, I go to meet my Albanian friend, and I give him the card. I'm like, hey, Arben, look what card I got. He's like, Gary, do you know who this is that you met? I said, no. He said, this is the general auditor of the United Nations. This is the lady that fights corruption in Kosovo. That's her job. She is the top dog in Kosovo. You met the top dog who fights corruption. And oh, me of great faith, I said, oh, yeah, I knew I was going to meet this lady. No. I didn't do that. I was shocked out of my boots. I go to her office. We pray with her. She ends up coming to my house a couple months later. She has a 3-car police escort to my house. She's guarded 24 hours a day. We pray with her in my house. She visits. We got to encourage that lady to keep fighting against corruption. And she loved the Lord, served the Lord. A couple months later, my wife meets her in a restaurant in downtown city. Police are inside the restaurant, outside the restaurant. She's the only one in the restaurant. She was in a dangerous position, but God put us for that time period in her life to encourage her and to pray with her, to help her. God answered that prayer. So God answers prayer. So with that, I just want to encourage you. You have needs here today, and the Lord wants to meet them, and He's going to meet them. Are you going to get an answer right away? Yes, maybe. But as you're praying, it may come tomorrow. It may come next week. Know that God is faithful. He is faithful. And lastly, this last 16b, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I always thought my prayer, if I pray, is it Don? If I pray for you, Don, then my prayer is going to be effective and powerful for you. I don't think that's what Scripture is saying here. Because they say, look, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. So I like the Message version. It says, the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. So how do we live right with God? God, here I am. I'm imperfect. Yes, I've sinned, maybe even today, maybe yesterday, but God, I give it all to you. Please forgive me. God, here's what I'm laying at your feet. I want to walk with you. I love you. You love me. This is the need I have or a family member has. I give it to you. Lord, what are you telling me? What do you want me to do? Or God, I need this physical healing. Or God, I need this job. That's something powerful to be reckoned with. Okay? So I encourage you, as we pray here at the end here, and as I just ask the Lord in prayer to bless you and to meet the needs that you have, that you just come in faith and believe the Lord, and He is faithful. He will see you and meet that need that you have. And again, if you want to talk to my wife or myself, we'll be at the back table. We'll be around after service. We love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And we really appreciate. With that, let me just close. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, just want to invite the Lord and to have His way. Lord God, I thank you so much, Lord, that you are our God, Lord. And Peter said, where do we go? You have the words of life. There's nowhere to turn. And Jesus, we know that you died for us. You live for us. You intercede for us. We come to you now, Lord God. And God, I pray for each person here, Lord. I know every heart here has a need. And God, that you would bless, that you would give assurance, that persons would know forgiveness if that's what's needed. God, that you would break any bondage if that's happening here this morning. God, that you would bless any physical ailment, healing, God. We pray it in Jesus' name. God, have your way, finances, whatever that may be, God, have your way, God, in each life here. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and praise, to lift up the name of Christ, to lift up Jesus' name. And we ask it all in His name. Amen.